Avellino!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports Station.
And Brock Huard. And Brock Huard.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Let the fire!
Good morning and welcome to the Brock and Salk Show. I am not Brock, and this gentleman in the room with me, I don't believe it's Salk, right,
yes,
Justin?
The voices you hear are not Brock nor Salk, which is a first for, I believe, this iteration of the show, isn't it?
So, yeah, we are living in a house of lies this morning.
It's true.
But don't worry, we are just the opening act. Salk has the day off, so he will be out, but coming up at 7, we will not only have Brock Huard for you, but also something I don't believe we've ever done before. I don't think this pairing has been on the air here, that you've heard them in college football. But
I'm giddy about it.
Yes. This guy got a lot of love and support from all of you earlier this week when the news that he was going to stay in town happened. Aaron Goldsmith is going to be in today.
Yes! Yeah. Mariners fans rejoice.
Let's
go. The man himself, Goldie, he is here to stay, and he's here for an entire show. I am pumped. Yeah. I didn't know yesterday, once we found out the news, I was like, can we start tweeting about this? Is this supposed to be secret? And I was like, of course we can tell people. Everyone should know about this. Goldie's going to be here.
It's a top secret.
I know. It's like, I don't know what to do right now. I feel like the text that we got was, hey, Goldie's definitely going to be there tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, should we keep this quiet for now? No, let's celebrate. We're pumped.
Shut your face, Justin.
I know. I'm wrong. Well, I think you should rejoice because this means without Salk, no crazy rank today for you. So I can tell that you're already in a good mood.
There is a proposal for an actual ranked, so I'm very excited about that. And I think this is a really good one, too.
An actual ranked. Like, it's...
Yes.
The disrespect of... Got it.
Well, speaking of, do you want to share with the people that you almost didn't make it here this morning?
Yeah. Today is the worst day. Started the worst day because of all days where Salk's not going to be here and Moore and I are like, oh, yeah, we'll take care of the first hour. We're good. I decide somehow, and I don't understand where it happened, because normally when you turn your alarm off or you hit snooze twice, you remember it because it's like, I don't know, it's you're awake, your alarm. I have no memory at all of turning my alarm off. I get the text from Maura. I was like, hey, are you going to be here today? Like, of all the days for me to not be here on time, today was the day, and I sincerely apologize to you for that. Wow.
It's okay. I just think you're going to have to apologize to Salk because he has this weird thing. He's like... he gets very excited when he thinks someone's going to oversleep.
I know.
I think he just likes to like hold it over you, but he has an odd obsession with it. Like he thought you did last week and he was really, really happy.
I know. And then the very next day he did. So obviously you can be careful, because the second he has to oversleep, then he gets to do the punishment, which was singing a song or something, which of course he's going to like. So considering he created the punishment, I guess that puts us in a weird spot.
Well, I'm not gonna make you sing today.
Thank you.
We'll keep it our secret.
Thank you.
But
thank you.
Did you get to see our Seattle Kraken last night?
I did get to see. And first of all, how did I not realize until yesterday during Wyman and Bob that the Kraken have not beat the Canucks yet?
Yeah.
0-5-1?
I thought it was 0-6. 0-5-1?
I heard Forslund say 0-5-1. They could have been 0-6. But that's something that I didn't realize yet. And the Flames are also another team that I don't think they've beat yet.
Ooh, we're going to watch them.
We're going to watch them tomorrow. Not very good teams with a bunch of weird coaching switches. And yeah, the Kraken somehow have found themselves 0-5-1. But that was a beatdown last night.
Oh my gosh. Like from the very beginning, Oliver Bjorkstrand opens it up with this Larson rebound that, by the way, he was like on his back foot about to fall down and sends this to the back of the net.
Horvath moves it. Done. Sets up Larson. Here it comes. Stop the rebound. They score! Oliver Bjorkstrand in the garden spot, in the dead slot. The Kraken off and running.
What is the garden spot? I've never heard that before. I love the new hockey terms whenever they happen. I don't know the garden spot. That's fantastic.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. Forslund was fantastic last night. I was going to cut a couple of the goals staying up late last night, and ended up doing all of them because I was like, well, this one's amazing too.
Yeah, it is. But I still had that. Once I knew that they were 0-5-1, I'm like, okay, when is the other shoe going to drop here? And when are we going to start giving up some goals or fumbling the puck or like just doing something stupid and sloppy? It didn't happen.
I mean, they just fired their coach. They are doing pretty poorly, but obviously when you have lost to a team that many times, you still have concerns. But I wonder now, because you did have this many games where you were trying to beat this team, you finally get the win last night, but there was a bit of a dirty play when Tyler Myers just drilled Matty Beniers from the side when he wasn't even looking his direction at all.
All 6'8", 250 pounds of Tyler Myers versus not big Matty Beniers in
Matty
a very dirty play.
6'2", 179 pounds.
6'2", 179, 268, 200,
I mean,
two
the
plus.
The main issue was he was completely looking somewhere else, and you just bounce his head off the ice. Just give him your full body weight. That was... not cool. He only got called for interference. But the bigger issue is that Matty Beniers missed the entire third period. Post-game, Dave Haxtell, you just can never really get much of an injury update in the NHL, but he just said he wasn't available.
He wasn't available.
I'm a little alarmed. Hopefully it's nothing, but just the way that his head did hit the ice, I hope he doesn't have a concussion.
Yeah, and I thought I saw him back out on the ice. Maybe he came out for a shift in the second, but didn't return for the third. It looked awful, and you could tell, and the more that I've watched hockey now, you can see that there is no flopping. There is no, you know, soaking in an injury or trying to pretend like it's worse than it is. And in slow-mo, it didn't feel as... And then you watched it in real time and actually how fast his head bounced off the ice was not a good feeling to see. Not for your superstar. Not especially when the team is actually playing so well. And this is when, in probably in large part to Matty Beniers' presence on the ice. It's not good.
Well, and Salk was just talking to Forslund the last time, what we had him on about a week ago, about adding a protector.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, can protect Matty Beniers at the trade deadline, and because he was saying that's not really something they have. But Jamie Oleksiak did kind of step in last night and face off with Luke Shen to avenge Beniers, and he did win that one.
And that was purely retaliation for that, right? Because it was at the face off, gloves dropped. You knew that it had to be in
that. I also think Shen was just kind of mad that they had just gone down 3-0, and so he was ready to go too.
Okay,
but yeah. I think Oleksiak did a good job of avenging that cheap shot.
And that's why I wonder if Tyler Boyd, or not Tyler Boyd.
You got the Bengals, on
my mind. I'm really
sorry.
For what is his name? Strauss? Why am I getting his name wrong now? The guy that threw Matty Beniers down.
Tyler Myers.
Strauss. Boyd. This is my fault for being late. That's what I was thinking, too. Is this just part of frustration for the way that they've been playing? And maybe
definitely.
And it's like, if they're going to go after anybody, he's going to give a little extra oomph to the superstar. But
I saw that in their postgame presser, their coach called him soft.
He called the Canucks soft?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He said the Kraken were a great team, but
good.
We played soft tonight.
Well, they did.
I mean, the Kraken
cheap shot. That was bad.
Made that happen. They played with such speed and precision last night. I was so impressed with just some of the passing, the penalty kill, them scoring on power plays. It was just
it was a beatdown.
End to end, such a good game.
Yeah, it was an absolute beatdown. Love to see that.
And I can't believe we get to go tomorrow.
I know. This is supposed to be the big day where G gets to end all confusion about meeting the ghost that is Betsy. And G has more important things to do. So the disrespect from G is noted. We'll hopefully find another one of these for him to participate in, but it's not going to happen for him for tomorrow. So we get to have our own day.
Nice. We also did get a text from the 253 that says, I was running a camera on the glass last night. The crowd was giving it to their goalie.
Nice.
Heckling was on point.
Nice.
Love to hear that.
Nice. Put more shots of Bowie, cameraman. I love
seeing Bowie.
Something great about Bowie.
You and that mascot.
Something good.
Special relationship. Are you going to try to take a picture tomorrow night?
I would love to take a picture with Bowie. If the cameraman could tell me where to be at what moment, because they know they have that all scheduled. They know where Bowie's going to be. Just like when I know where the Moose is going to be at every inning. Tell me where Bowie's going to be so I can go snap a selfie with that guy. Thank you, 253 in advance.
All right, guys. We are going to have a lot coming up for you this show. Next is Need to Know, and we are going to hear from Kevin Burkhart, who stopped by with Brock and Salk yesterday. He's calling the Super Bowl on Fox this year. And then when Aaron Goldsmith joins us for the 7 o'clock hour, we will get into a little bit of a Seahawks and Mariners talk. And then at 8:30, we will have Jerry DePoto joining us as usual. And then at 9:30, Lance Zierlein of NFL.com, draft analyst, will be breaking down some of what the Seahawks might be able to do.
All right. Big day. And I'm here.
You're
I
here.
Made it.
I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Maura.
All right. Need to Know is next. You're listening to Seattle Sports.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
MLB Network is releasing their top 10 players at every position list. Starting pitchers and catchers aren't out till next week, but so far there are five Mariners: Ty France, Teoscar Hernandez, Julio Rodriguez, Colton Wong, and Andres Munoz all made the list at their positions. Teoscar was the only Mariner to be ranked on the list last year, so all newcomers except for him. He came in eighth among right fielders last year, and that is where he lands again this year. Julio is ranked third with just Mike Trout and Byron Buxton coming in as the only center fielders ahead of him.
You said five Mariners, so soon to be seven or eight or nine.
I don't think Cal Raleigh's going to be there again.
Yeah, you're going to say Luis Castillo's probably going to be close to this one too. But, I mean, you would have to also assume that that's fair to put Julio behind Mike Trout and Byron Buxton until he does it maybe for next year, and then he will be number one. But still, love to see it, and more than we had last year. Future's bright. I'm excited. But I want to see that number up when pitchers and catchers are finally announced in this list.
Yeah, I mean, and these lists don't mean anything. It's just MLB Network's, you know, stab at it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's cool to see the recognition that they're finally getting. You know, a team that kind of has been an afterthought in the national media for a long time.
True.
To go from not really having anyone on that
and
list last
only
year.
One of those five is a homegrown player.
True. It just gets you excited. We are so close to spring training, and I know that there are some people that are still, and I'm kind of included in that, that we're still hoping that maybe they were going to make at least one more big move here. Shannon Dreyer telling us the other day that a trade before spring training is probably unlikely at this point, but, you know, I think sometimes we forget that they do have a lot of talent on this roster.
True. And Divish saying that they're, you know, the WBC puts a little bit of wrench in that too. Yeah. I understand, but you can wish and you can pray, but it's still nice to have five Mariners in the top 10 at every position from MLB Network. And like I said, the number's going
to
go up.
More to come.
Yes.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Yesterday, we found out that there were five finalists for NFL Coach of the Year, and Pete Carroll was not one of them.
Ooh.
I agree. Brian Daboll, Sean McDermott, Kyle Shanahan, Doug Peterson, and Nick Sirianni made the cut. Carroll's players took to Twitter to voice their frustration yesterday. Quandre Diggs posted, "Man, I don't understand how Pete isn't a finalist. Not a top five coaching job with a team everybody expected to be sorry? Y'all killed me last year when I said Pete told me we're not rebuilding. We're trying to win now, once I re-signed." And then Geno Smith simply retweeted the list of finalists that NFL tweeted, and it posed the question, who will win? And he put the caption, Peter Clay Carroll.
And we're sure that's not a Drake lyric, just to be safe moving forward. Of no. course, but how nice is that? You want your players sticking up for you like that. It says a lot for everything we've heard about Pete over all these years of getting everybody believing, and these are the two leaders on both sides of the ball. It's fantastic. And yeah, he should be. The disrespect's noted. And Brock said this yesterday. I think he told us to this off the air, but probably a couple of the losses to the AFC South probably really hurt these chances, or NFC South really hurt these chances, and maybe that loss to the Raiders, but still, he deserves to be in the top five.
Yeah, I get that all of these coaches made it further in the playoffs, but that's never been the standard before.
True.
I mean, sometimes a guy that misses the playoffs gets it, I think. It's like, oh, he had a team that was, you know, in last place last year and they improved drastically. I feel like the goalpost just changes, and I think Omar Ruiz was on with Bump and Stacey recently, and his explanation, I think, is what hurts Pete Carroll. He basically said that this is what people expect from him. But this is unprecedented. They traded away their franchise quarterback and decided to go with what we have sound of, like Tim Hasselbeck and Ryan Clark saying they don't have two number one quarterbacks. They have two number twos. Like, everyone thought that this was going to be, some people were projecting them, I think it was DraftKings or someone, to be the 32nd team in the league.
There were three different projections. I had them 30th, 31st, and 32nd.
I mean, that at least deserves a nod. Like, some of these guys were in the playoffs last year. Yeah. What did they do that differently?
I would also say the Lions fans are probably feeling a bit slighted, too. Dan Campbell seems to have turned that franchise around at least this season.
I would agree on that, yeah. To me, it shouldn't be someone whose team was good last year and they're good again.
Right.
I mean, I guess you get the 49ers, you give them that they had a lot of adversity with their quarterback.
I don't think anybody's debating Kyle Shanahan being on this list.
Bills, I'm not really sure. I think the DeMar Hamlin injury probably played into that a little bit, how Sean McDermott handled that.
Yeah.
I guess I'm trying to make the arguments in my head, but yeah. Pete Carroll should be on that list.
Agreed. Next.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
The Kraken defeated the Canucks 6-1 last night. It was their first win against the division rival. Jared McCann, Eli Tolvanen, Alex Wenberg, Ryan Donato, and Oliver Bjorkstrand all scored, with Bjorkstrand adding a second goal in the final minutes of the second period to make it 5-0 Seattle.
Gives it to Gord, gives it to Larson, who sets up Bjorkstrand. They score! Sweet Georgia Brown, just like the Globetrotters. They work a weave and find the magic. 3:45 left in the second. 5-0 Seattle.
Told you there were some more good calls in there.
John Forslund is so good. I'm really excited when we have Aaron Goldsmith in for all day, if you're just tuning in, filling in for Salk from 7 to 10. I am really excited to hear what Goldie thinks of Forslund's calls, too, because those are fantastic.
Sweet Georgia Brown.
Sweet Georgia Brown.
They did put on a passing clinic before that wrist shot from Bjorkstrand. And then, man, Donato's last shot, their last shot of the game to make it 6-1 was just a
backhand,
beautiful backhander.
Yep.
I mean, he was practically already around the net. I don't even know how he made that happen. And he is on fire. I think he's had 4 goals in his last 3 games.
Yeah.
Eli Tolvanen, they got this guy off waivers December 12th. Like, the Predators didn't even get anything for him, and he has 6 goals in 13 games.
You just have to think. It's coaching, right? Scheme, right? Fit?
Yeah.
I talk about that so much.
I loved clicking on his goal on Twitter last night and seeing all of the mentions just being like bitter Predators fans. Yeah. Like, we got nothing for him. Or even there were some from other teams' fans that were like, why didn't we try to pick him up?
Of course.
That's a good feeling.
It is. But there is one small piece of bad news, right?
There is. Matty Beniers took what we're deeming a cheap shot. He only got penalized for interference when he kind of blindsided Matty Beniers. Matty Beniers' head hit the ice, and he did not return for the third period. Dave Haxtell said post-game that he was just not available for the third, so we don't have any updates on that.
Yeah, Tyler Myers, the guy that hit him, is a monster. He doesn't even look like... I mean, he looks like he could be on an NFL field. He looks like he could be an NBA player. He's 6'8", 2... What is it? 250?
I think I saw like 230.
God, he's just a giant.
Oleksiak is like 250. So it would have been better if they faced off, because the guy that he fought was like 6'2", closer to Beniers' size.
Yeah.
Do you think definitely a couple of mismatches.
Do you feel... I know we got to get to break here. Do you feel a rivalry, or do you think this was just the nature of last night's game?
I think between how long it took them to get over that hump of beating the Canucks, and now we've got some kind of chippiness going on between the two, and it's a division. I mean, the Canucks are going to have to get better for it.
Right,
to
yeah. Be, and I remember asking Salk about this too. It's like, is the rivalry built in just because of geographic, like how close? And he's like, kind of, but that doesn't matter. Like, they kind of form themselves. And if last night is an indicator, yeah, I hope this will be a rivalry, because that would be really fun. I would like to hear what Canucks fans have to say. I'd like to go to a game up in Vancouver. But last night was fun. It was good to see the first beatdown of the Canucks, I guess, from the Kraken standpoint.
I agree. I think we're still kind of waiting to see those rivalries emerge, but we might have laid some groundwork last night.
Perfect.
All right, that is everything you need to know. We do that at 15 hour after every hour. And next up, we are going to listen to Kevin Burkhart. He stopped by with Brock and Salk yesterday. He is a Fox analyst calling the Super Bowl this year. That's coming up next here on Seattle Sports on 710.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Homework assignment number 2 coming up here in 15 minutes. Maura gave us some homework as well. Mm-hmm. So Brock handed out homework, and then Maura gave out homework. So that's coming up here in 15 minutes.
I just said, oh, hey, this is an idea we could do.
I mean, you did it more passive aggressively, but yes, right. You and Brock both sort of trying to vie for control of the show.
Well, it had something
right
to do now with music, so I knew you'd
which
be
was
very
surprising.
Happy.
Very
speaking
good
of which, yeah, did you hear that little beat right there? You like that little beat, right?
It's a good beat.
Yeah. Can't you picture Burkhart in his Camaro?
Yes.
IROC.
Yes.
Top down.
IROC C28.
Highway 1 is a Highway 1 down there, Pacific Coast Highway.
Yeah.
Can you just picture him
yes.
after calling the Super Bowl jamming to that?
Yeah. Just, I mean, just, he's riding high. He's just called the biggest television event of the year for the first time.
Yep.
T-top, I assume, Camaro, right? He knocks out the parts of the roof. Still got the T-bar rolling across the middle. Yeah, that's exactly what I see. And, hey, he's joining us right now, the man who will call this year's Super Bowl, Kevin Burkhardt from Fox. Hello, Kevin.
It's like you're bringing back my Jersey roots. You know what I mean? I feel like I gotta, you know, gotta get the fist pumping going, the whole thing. Maybe I'll do it. Who knows?
We,
see how the game goes.
We sometimes do a little game show here on this on our show called "Which Is Better." So I will ask you a "Which Is Better" question. As you said, as a Jersey guy, which is better, Firebird or Camaro?
Oh my goodness, that is a Well, I will say this: when I was a kid, I mean, the Firebird logo on the hood was pretty. That was pretty legit.
Yeah.
That was hard to beat.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna have to go Firebird.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I totally agree. Got to go Firebird over the Camaro.
Which is better, calling a game in Santa Clara or calling a game in Philly Sunday afternoon?
Well, listen, I think Santa Clara's atmosphere has come a long way. When we first got there, I think it was, it was certainly no Candlestick, but it's turned into a great place to watch and call a game. There's a big tailgating spot, but it ain't Philly. Philly's unbelievable. I mean, it's going to be a great, loud, raucous atmosphere on Sunday, and I can't wait. You know, There's certain places, as you guys well know, obviously, and Seattle's one of them. I haven't been to Seattle in a few years now. I miss coming up to games up there. But Philly, New York, Boston, things like, it's going to be nuts. They're going to be tailgating for 12 hours and all sauced up and ready to go. I can tell you that.
The poles will be all greased around the city of Philadelphia. How big a gap do you think there is between the two teams that you're going to call this weekend and the rest of the NFC right now?
I think they were clearly the best two teams in the league all year long. So I think it's the best game. I think it's the best game we could possibly have gotten. And I think there is a pretty sizable gap. Now, look, Dallas, we knew Dallas, what they're capable of when they played well, when they played on all cylinders, and their defense played excellent last week, but their offense did not. But I think that Philly, it's the same thing with Philly. You know, they didn't have a great last month. Jalen Hurts got hurt. And, and they just tried to kind of survive and get the bye and take a rest. It's really what they needed. And everyone kind of forgot how good they were the first, three quarters or more of the season. And so they dismissed them and then they got their rest and they got people healthy and they came out and obliterated the Giants. So I think they are and have been by far the best two teams in the NFC. So I can't wait to watch it.
We were chatting about you a little bit last hour, Kevin, and just your road to this spot and your grind and handed nothing in this business and worked your way up and now in the number one booth and getting to do these games and a Super Bowl here in a couple weeks. Just kind of curious, living in that number one booth and calling the game of the week every single week this season, what was that experience like?
Yeah, Brock, I've appreciated every second of it. I could tell you that. And it probably is because of the road I took to get here. How could you not appreciate? And listen, I appreciated what I was doing before this. So it's not like my attitude is new. It's just that there's so many more pinch me moments doing these games. You're doing Cowboys Packers at Lambeau on a Sunday night in a one score game. You're doing Thanksgiving when you're into 42 million homes and you're kind of saying hello to people's families and then you're doing playoff games, which I had done playoff games before. But when you're on this crew and you get the top game and you get the most attention and it's just different. And then, nothing's going to be more different than the next two, because these two I haven't done. I haven't done a championship game and I haven't obviously done a Super Bowl. So I'm just really enjoying the ride. I mean, it's been so much fun to be in this position and get a chance to be, front row at these games and hopefully I'm doing them justice. That's really my mindset.
The Super Bowl, though, it is the biggest television event of the year every year. And what I find interesting about it, and I'm sure you'll think about this as you're there in Arizona, it's not just that it's the biggest television event in America. It's such an international event. You're going to be in homes all over the world that day.
Yeah, Mike, what's interesting for me? I have done the international feed for the Super Bowl the last 3 years, which is only broadcast abroad. And I don't know the exact rules of it, but there, you know, certain countries get like our normal feed and certain countries get this feed that I did, which is kind of like a dialed down. There's less, you know, stuff on it, so to speak. And your approach is a little different, but it's been a good experience for me just to see, you know, how the world kind of receives it. So I think that's been cool, but you know, the way I look at it is, look, of course there's nothing that's going to be like it, and you're right. And it is going to be different. But the reality is we just did a game on Sunday that had 45 million people watching it. So to me, it doesn't affect how I announce a game. It's once the game starts, it's the game. And I truly mean that. It's everything else. It's all the stuff leading up to it. You know, it's huge. It's 8,000 people asking you how you feel doing it. So I think everything that week and leading up to the game, I'm sure my heart will be racing. And then once the game starts, like, then I'll be able to take a breath and just do the game and, you know, and hopefully do it well.
Well, I got a minor confession to make before we ask about the Seahawks and Geno and whether or not you guys are going to, number one crew is going to be in Seattle next year.
Are you going to say that you advocated for Joe Davis to do the Super Bowl? That's not right to bring a guest on and then tell him something
that's not right. You can't do that to Kevin and
it's
I.
Just wrong, Brock. I can't believe you.
I'll give you, no, so you don't even know this. Maybe you will as I start the conversation, you'll start to figure it out. I'll just be totally honest. I've not even told my wife this. This is how strong a confession it is.
Wow.
Nobody in broadcasting pulls off the zipper sweater, tie, sport coat better than Kevin Burkhardt.
Wow.
And I mean nobody.
Whoa.
So I have on a couple occasions imitated.
Oh.
I've borderline said to Molly, because I'm colorblind, so she's got to put my stuff together. I'm like, I'd really like to go in this cooler environment. It's cold, little sweater, gonna do a little zip sweater. And I wouldn't do that if it weren't for Kevin Burkhardt. So that's my only challenge with the Super Bowl, KB. It's probably gonna be a little cold in Philly, and you may get to pull that look again. I'm kind of a little bummed that it's in Arizona, that you won't be able to pull the zip sweater, which I think is your strongest wardrobe game. Ever been told that?
Wow, that's maybe the best compliment I've ever gotten. I'm floored. That's high praise. There are others in the field that do the same thing. I would say this, Rock, and you know this. So the challenge when I first started doing this, it's like, okay, you get in those like weird temps, like in the 40s, you know, high 40s and a little chilly, but like you don't want to throw on a whole coat and kind of, you want to look good. You want to classes. How do you do it? So I did it a couple of years ago. And I was like, all right, I could work with this. And like, I don't know, some people hated it, but like, I felt like it was like, you're still kind of wearing your suit and your tie. I like the tie thing. I don't know. It makes me feel like you're getting into people's homes. So like, it's still a way to do it. So I appreciate it, man. I put myself out there. Not everyone loves it, but that's high. I feel confident going into Philly now, rocking the sweater underneath because of you.
I mean, you're talking to people in Seattle. We know quite a bit about like mid 40s, kind of rainy, little cold. Like we're pretty well familiar with that exact weather pattern. Kevin Burkhardt from Fox Sports joining us here before he calls the NFC Championship game on Sunday. And then of course the Super Bowl 2 weeks after that. Storylines for the, I mean, it's a great game. Honestly, like of all the NFC Championship games that we've had in the last few years, I might be the most excited about this one just because of the Jalen Hurts story and the Brock Purdy. I mean, there's great storylines of quarterbacks who've come either out of complete nowhere or after being really underrated for a long time or for some time. The defenses are both really explosive. What are you excited about?
Wow, I think there are so many great matchups in this game, and I'm with you. I think they're just stars all over the field. I am most excited about this. We know how good the 49ers defense is. Obviously, they're one in the league. We saw what they did to Dallas. But I'm most excited about Jalen Hurts against their defense. I think that people kind of forget because he got hurt. I mean, he was a front runner for MVP in the league before he got hurt. That's the bottom line, because of his dual threat ability. The beauty of Philly is that they won games however they wanted to win them. If they wanted to run for 300 yards with, you know, Hurts a big part of that attack, well, then they did it. If they wanted to carve people up in the pass game and have him throw for 300, they did it. I don't think there are many teams in the league that could operate like that or did operate like that. And they haven't done it in 6 weeks, because when he came back against the Giants at the end of the season, they're just trying to survive and get the one seed. He was careful. I don't think they had to go out on a limb at all this week against the Giants. They just ran it down their throat with their offensive line, and they kept Jalen kind of out of harm's way. They didn't have to get creative. Well, they're going to have to get creative this week. So I'm fascinated to see how they attack the 49ers defense, which way they choose to go. I think it's a big A.J. Brown game for me. We saw what DK Metcalf did to them, and we've seen, you know, big receivers do the same thing. I think if Philly wins, it's a big day for A.J. Brown.
Hey, last question for me, KB, here, because I'm going to get some other calls to run to as well. We know at times this can be a copycat league. It goes in cycles. We watch it, and it's this kind of quarterback, or it's this kind of team, or it's this kind of system, and everybody, or a fair amount, love to imitate it. I am curious how many are going to be watching, and certainly we are in Seattle, because there is a QB decision to make with Geno Smith and his play this season and everything else. I am curious how many are going to watch this NFC game and go, geez, see? It's not all about paying a quarterback $40 million. And actually, if you can build your team in such a way that a Mr. Irrelevant and a second-round QB can lead you, how advantageous it is over the long term. How big of a statement, how big of a copycat, how much of an effect maybe in Seattle would this game and will this game have on building an entire roster and team versus just the focal point on one position?
Brock, I think it's so beautifully said, and I don't have to tell you, play the position at the highest level, but I think that's it. That's the bottom line. Like, to me, Geno back to Seattle is a no-brainer. It's all about finding two things, the fit and the price. So for Geno Smith, what's the price? You know, it doesn't have to be $50 million like Aaron Rodgers is getting. Just find the right price. For Daniel Jones with the Giants, who came alive and finally had a good year, he had the right coach in a good system. They didn't have a lot of weapons and still had a very, very good year. They're going to bring him back. They don't have to pay him $50 million. Find the right, I don't know, is it $25 million? But he is the fit there. Because then if you move on, you're like, then where you go, right? We all know how hard it is to get a quarterback. And I think same thing, right? Jalen Hurts, Philly does what he does well. For Brock Purdy, gosh, I mean, people didn't think he was worth draftable or even bringing in. Obviously, he was the last pick in the draft. It looks pretty darn good to me. I mean, he's poised as heck. And would he be as good in other situations? I don't know, but he's perfect for Shanahan in this spot. So I think you said it. It's like, it's not always about the, you know, in certain situations, find the best fit. And then if, you know, someone like Geno is a free agent who I think is a lock to bring back, you know, find the right money. Like I think it doesn't always have to be the home run. I don't know. I think you said it so well, like this game totally proves that. It really is about surroundings and fit and coaching as much as anything else.
I think I've agreed with everything you said right until that last moment, because I don't know if it's a lock that they're going to bring Geno back. That's the one thing where I just say because I don't know whether he wants 35 plus million, if they want to get on that carousel of paying that kind of money for somebody that isn't in the Patrick Mahomes, the elite of the elite category.
Just remember, well, women lie.
I think that's fair, though, right? Like, I think, I'm sorry, Brock, I didn't mean to cut you, but I think like that there has to be a line of demarcation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. Like, so I think, you know, without the money, it's a lot bring them back. But yeah, if the money goes like past a certain line, well, then I think you pass. But hopefully it's like the team and also the player realize that it's like it's a pretty good situation for both. So I agree.
Good stuff. Hey, really excited for you. Obviously, NFC Championship game in Philly. And, you know, you said you won't be nervous. It'll feel totally normal to call the game. But if nothing else, it is the highest honor for someone in your profession to be called upon to call the Super Bowl. What an incredible honor that is, and a testament to all the great work you've done. Congratulations. I hope you really enjoy it. We'll look forward to watching you.
Appreciate it. Great to be back with you guys. And Brock, I will pick my three-quarter zip with extra care when I pack. I really appreciate it.
Go pastels and blues.
You can pull off purple. You're kind of a guy who can pull off purple. So, I think I could see that. Yep. All right.
Go Rocket. You will. Thanks, KB.
Thank you. There you go. There's Kevin Burkhardt from Fox Sports.
All right. That was Kevin Burkhardt of Fox Sports. And, you know, Brock always making it a little awkward. Had to go really hard about how he like copies Burkhardt's style a little bit.
Something I've learned over the last several months of working with Brock is how quickly he can turn something into something so awkward.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, from the very first his second show that we had him with Jerry DePoto, when he asked Jerry DePoto if Jared Kelnick had any teeth, It's like, excuse me?
I forgot.
Like, where is he going with this? He's like, oh, does he smile? I'm like, why don't you just ask that? But yeah, Brock, of course, he'd get some fashion advice. That's what we come to expect. And we're very excited to hear some of the stories that he's going to share with Goldsmith, too, when we start there with them at 7.
Well, yeah, and then we had the 49ers radio host on last week when he was like, have you ever put your hand next to Brock Purdy's hand? Like, what? Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to know about the size of his hand. Well, that's a really weird way of asking it.
Yes. That is that most people don't understand where you're coming from when you say things like that. Like, they just expect him to be pacing along with his brain. I'm going to drop this weird question and see what type of response he gets. He knows exactly what's going to happen. If they're going to respond with that's a weird question.
I mean, I think part of him kind of likes the reaction.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
We were sitting in the sports pit the other day with Brandon Gustafson, who writes for our website, seattlesports.com. And he was saying, you know, sometimes these things are a little hard when I try to write a story about them.
Oh, yeah, sure, the quotes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, out of context without any tone.
A weird quote from Brock about, have you ever touched Brock Purdy's hand?
You put your hand to Brock Purdy's hand.
Does Jared Kelnick have teeth? All right.
Love you,
well,
Brock. Thank you.
Moving on. I don't know if there's an easy way to segue out of that
one.
Justin, to wrap up this hour, I wanted to get your reaction to, because you are our noted Bengals fan.
Resident Bengals fan, yes.
I wanted to get your reaction to something that Bump and Stacey's guest, Jeff Chedia, said yesterday, that the Bengals remind him a little bit of the early era LOB Seahawks.
But I just feel like the Bengals are on the cusp of really being something great. And I think they know it. And again, I go back to what the Seahawks were when they started to get going with the defense and the people around and the personalities. And the Bengals just have this attitude that nobody really believes in them. That last year they thought people thought it was a fluke. When they were 0-2, people were writing them off. Super Bowl hangover. And Joe Burrow is one of these guys that if you look at the quarterbacks out there today who are young and talented, that, you know, they're doing commercials, they're getting a lot of exposure. I don't see a Joe Burrow commercial anywhere out there.
That's a good point.
To Joe Burrow press conference, you know, he's not enjoying it. He's not sitting there, you know, soaking up all the attention. Like, he's out there, he wants to do one thing. He wants to kick everybody's butt who's in his way. And I think that's a big part of who he is. That's a big part of why that franchise has turned around with him under center.
I could not agree more. That is exactly who he is. I mean, to be fair, not just the defense or Joe Burrow or the coach, that franchise has been audibly laughed at for so long. Like, there is no time to soak that in if you're Joe Burrow. And everybody who's probably been in his ear and everybody on national news or national sport news is saying, like, yeah, last year was a fluke. That's not sustainable. Let's see you do it again. I mean, he did this after coming back from one of the worst knee injuries that you can have in that position, and led his team to the Super Bowl, and he's back to the AFC Championship. He doesn't have time for endorsements.
Well, and they are kind of still looked at as that underdog. They were the underdog in the Bills game last week, mm-hmm. and they seem to have that everybody doubts us mentality that I think the Seahawks kind of earned a living on early on in that LOB era. You couldn't really say that later.
No,
they were dominant.
But the team does have some of the
you know,
fingerprint.
Doug Baldwin with the pedestrian receivers comment.
Right.
And I do think there are some similarities there.
For sure. Like, some of the fingerprint of the LOB era Seahawks, not the actual team. Like, they don't have a bunch of first rounders. They have, I think, zero all pros. I mean, you'd know that more than I would. I think they had two or three pro bowlers. They're still the discount brand to most NFL people, and Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Trey Hendrickson, they've and a lot of the guys on this team, besides maybe Eli Apple, who I don't want to talk about, who have gone through, like,
why not?
Like Eli Apple at all. He's gone through the lonely work, which we hear a lot, like, to change the narrative, and it's satisfying. NFL fans should love to see what the Bengals are doing and what's happening to the franchise because of a guy like Joe Burrow. I realize it's not the easiest blueprint to repeat, but the Lions could be about to do the same thing, like, you know, albeit taking a different route the way that they've gone about rebuilding. But it's good for the league. It's great for the Bengals. It's obviously great for me as a fan. I've been dying to know what it felt like to be a Patriots fan during the dynasty years. I can't imagine people hating my team simply because they're good. Everywhere I've gone into Bengals gear, I get the, like, laughed at or, like, the, oh, I'm sorry comments. This is fantastic. I love it. And leave the chip. It's working for now, but they're not the underdogs anymore. That's pretty well established, I think, that they are no longer the little engine that could.
Yeah, I think I saw something today that Bengals players are openly calling Arrowhead Burrowhead.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that. And actually, I think it was Eli. Maybe it was Mike Hilton. I think Mike Hilton, when he was mic'd up, was saying, "We'll see y'all in Burrowhead." And he's like, "It'll take a minute, but when you realize it, you'll know what I'm saying." I was like, "Yeah,
so
you're
they've
right.
won all their last three meetings. Is it all of Joe Burrow's games against the
Chiefs?
Yep. Wow.
Yep.
That is pretty impressive because Patrick Mahomes has owned the NFL for a few years.
I know. In Joe Burrow not doing endorsement, like he does have a couple endorsements. He's done, I think, some for like a small electric truck company that's based in Ohio, of course. But he's like, he's a private guy. He's like a small town, humble guy. He's a guy that turned his Heisman speech into pointing the attention towards kids who were growing up with food insecurities in Southeast Ohio and all the money that flooded into the Ohio food banks in Athens. Love the guy.
All right, Justin, despite you almost oversleeping me and leaving me here alone this morning, I gave you some time to show some love to your Bengals.
Thank you.
Now, we are getting some questions about what ranked is going to be today, but I don't think we should give it away, Justin.
No, Goldie's in the building. I don't want to spoil anything. Goldie's he's going to take a sip of water. He's going to stretch out. He's going to do his plyometrics. He's going to do all the things it takes before he does his big-time broadcasts. He's already got it going. I can see he's going full zen. We'll turn the lights down for him. We'll turn the heat up.
Maybe, I will say that I'm excited for it, so if that tells you anything, because I normally hate ranked.
Yeah,
Maura. It is going to be a different kind of ranked.
Today. Noted ranked hater Maura will, I think, really appreciate what we have in store for today. That should be easy.
All right, so that's coming up along with Jerry DePoto at 8:30, NFL.com draft analyst Lance Zierlein at 9:30, and Brock and Aaron Goldsmith will be on the air next here on Seattle Sports on 710.